The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin is a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. A lot of things could be settled pretty quickly in those verses, particularly on the sexually immoral piece of it. If you read it, understood it, and believed it, those are three things that would have to happen. That is something that we could teach to those involved in that case, whether they be within the church, specifically within the church. We could also teach those without that are on the outside of the church, but specifically those within the church. We should read that, have them read it. You can read it to them, but it works. Every Bible lesson that I've taught teaching someone to before they were baptized, I have them read the scripture. Do I read it? Yeah, I will. I want them to read it and then tell me what they read. Is that comfortable for some people? No, it's not. Does that make them understand it better? I think so. If they read it, chances are when you get through with that session, they're probably going to read it again when they go home or wherever. Won't belabor that point, but it makes an impact if you're reading it yourself and if you understand what you're reading. How even on a human level is sexual permissiveness often destructive to people and relationships? Inside Scripture, outside Scripture, outside the church, inside the church. Is it destructive? Sure. Okay, number two, Larry says, for the cause of divorce. Money's number one. Sexual infidelity is number two. Does God talk about both of those in Scripture? You bet. In fact, money, and if you don't believe it, you can look up Scripture when you get home or after a while, whatever. Money is one of the, if it's not number one, it's real close to number one, being talked about as much as anything else within Scripture. It's there for a reason. If we handle it correctly, if we contribute not only to the church, work of the church, but to those in need, I mean, there's a whole list of things that Scripture tells us we're to use it for. Are we to use it for our own needs? Sure. If we're struggling, how are we going to help someone else? Although, if you will look in today's society, and doesn't even have to be today, probably before today, really, in years past, may have even been more prevalent, some of the less well-off people, if you will, monetarily, are some of the bigger givers. You know, we remember the woman and the mite. She gave more percentage-wise than people that had money. So it's a mind thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a heart thing. It's what God wants us to do as Christians. How does this passage challenge the idea of casual sex? Is there such a thing? outside the church world, outside the Christian world, just like in Corinth today, it's prevalent, folks. One-night stands, whatever they want to call them, oh yeah, somebody's bragging about it, just like Paul was getting on to this individual at Corinth. It's not to be something to be bragged about. It's something to repent of and get your life back in order. As we look back over chapters 5 and 6, and we're about out of time, but what warnings and assurances did we find in those two chapters? Whether it be about sexual immorality, whether it be about lawsuits, what pluses and minuses did we look at? As Christians, we need to be doing what Paul told the Corinthians to do. And this is not the only place. We can go back to any number of reference scriptures before this, throughout Scripture, telling us how we're to behave as Christians and how we're to treat others, how we're to get along within those of the church, especially in the church, I think, as Scripture brings out at various points. So we're to pray for those that are in need. We're not to take a brother or sister to court, specifically those within the body. Just like Paul brings out, if we can't trust those within brothers and sisters in Christ, how are we to trust a judge that is probably part of the world? Thank you all for your attendance, even though we were a little thin. Thank you for your comments. Next week, we get into a fun chapter in 7, marriage and those things that concern marriage. If you have a chance, read chapter 7. It's a long chapter. It's about 40 verses. So I'm sure nobody in here has anything to say about marriage. Thank you all.